Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the one and only Dog Pod. Week 3 is in the books. BT, the Law Dog here, ready to break down the Huskies' 52-20 win over the Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii and preview our Week 5 road trip to Provo to take on BYU. But before we get into it, we owe the listeners an apology, guys. We missed last week. Can I give you my side of the story?
I mean, I think it's only fair.
Okay, so listeners, I hosted the tailgate at Husky Stadium last week, which was about a 13-hour venture. Getting everything set up. It was our fundraiser for football for Sinaloa. Thanks to everyone who donated. Had a great time. Live music. Went into the game. Ultimately, what ended up happening is we basically had a three-hour halftime. So not only like running out of beer, running out of food, running out of everything, having to get it all. It went crazy. It goes on until the middle of the night. I get home at wee hours. The next day, wake up, spent, no exaggeration, 5 hours cleaning.
Ooh.
Like everything in our tailgate, Trent, every single, if you imagine, you guys have hosted tailgates, every single tent, everything soaked in mud, front to back.
Trashed.
And frankly, I would have had to rewatch the entire game to even make sense of it all, which at the end of the day, it's already dinner time. There's no way I was pulling this off. It wasn't going to happen. And frankly, I was so pissed off with the result. I could not stomach it to sit through that thing. So apologies to the listeners. You deserve it.
Well, I have an even better excuse, BT. We have the arrival of Little Law Dog Jr. last
week. That's right. Law Dog Jr. in the
late
house.
In the wee hours on Wednesday night. I had about a combined 6 hours of sleep last week. So it just wasn't going to happen. Apologies to our listeners. But that Cal game, I mean, just a couple of brief thoughts to kind of run down a little bit. I mean, we talked about it. I was worried. I was definitely worried about that game. And you just see why their defense is, the offense, I think, for the Huskies was a pretty big letdown with penalties and drops. But also, how much of that was Cal's defense? I mean, they sacked Eason a few times. They were causing havoc. And, I just think that this death row defense giving up 69 yards, 75 yards, 73 yards and 74 yard drives, four big scoring drives for Cal. It just didn't look like the Huskies of old out there or of recent years. So I just think, it was a tough loss. We're starting in the hole now in conference play, along with Stanford, who kind of surprisingly, I thought, lost to USC, with Law Dog taking the under in that game.
Wow.
Went for like 60 points. But now, we're looking up at Cal, looking up at Oregon and Wazoo, and you basically have to run the table in the North. So maybe not run the table. Obviously, we overcame that loss to Cal last season in Berkeley. So the season isn't over. But, I mean, man, it was just a tough way to start this conference play.
Particularly getting that division loss, I think, is going to be difficult. In the end of the day, if I will say that, the narrative does matter with respect to, like, bowl selection and a few of these things in the end. And there is a narrative of, like, well, the game ended at 4:30 Eastern. It was sideways rain. There was lightning going on. It was the perfect storm. Cal won the game. Cal beat you, Doug.
Hats off.
But about 10 things happened that
Helped him.
That helped.
You had a crowd of 69,000 people that was ready to go. That by the time there was 10 minutes left in the first quarter, after a huge lightning delay, that three quarters of it was gone.
Oh, by 1:30 a.m., what, 4,000 people?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So
I mean, the
estimates I saw were generous. So you got everything going right for the Bears. They hats off to him, but I mean, hey, this is also the second straight year they've beaten us. Wilcox, I think, has a good thing going there. He knows what he's doing, and there's somebody we need to take seriously.
Does he have that sort of Peterson over Leach kryptonite thing that he's got him figured out?
I hope not.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it was kind of the perfect storm, but I didn't see this team running the table. I didn't think we were going to lose to Cal, but still, and the one thing I just say to Husky Nation, if you're here, you kind of believe in our mantra. Look, keep it positive. That's not to say you don't point out weaknesses, but things did get a little negative last week. Let's pull it together, Dog Nation.
Yeah.
Let's get together on it. All right, so guys, we're over it. No more. Last Saturday, the then number 23 Huskies welcomed the Rainbow Warriors to Husky Stadium, who came in riding a two-game win streak against the Pac-12 for a 4:30 p.m. kickoff. The Huskies were a 24-point favorite. They would cover that with a 32-point win. I had a great time. Once a year, I take my 88-year-old grandmother to a game. She started taking me to games when I was like 4 years old, which was awesome. We sat in the wheelchair section right behind the Hawaii visiting section. Everybody was cool as hell.
She looks great.
Great Hawaii fan. She had a blast. Stayed till the very end of the game. I thought they looked great. Lada, give us the cliff notes, man. What happened?
Well, this one got off to a quick start, right? First three Husky drives ended in touchdowns in this one. So beginning with that first streak, that galloping slant over the middle to Hunter Bryant, Jacob Eason, 47-yard touchdown just over a minute into the game. Then two plays later, Miles Bryant picks off Cole McDonald, back in business. Then it just took Huskies really quick, five plays, and Sean McGrew found the end zone again on a nice 22-yard touchdown. Hawaii punts. Then Eason finds a new connection. We're hoping this one becomes a trend, right? Finds Puka Nacua on that corner route, 22-yard touchdown. And so it's 21-0 Huskies with a little over 9 minutes into the game, or 8 minutes into the game. Hawaii gets a nice return on that ensuing kickoff, and then they kind of got a little bit going there. They got all the way to the 38-yard line and attempted a 55-yard field goal, missed it. And the teams kind of traded a couple punts here, and then 13 minutes left in the half, Eason, do you remember this throw? Just that dart over the middle to Aaron Fuller, a 37-yard touchdown.
Beautiful.
So it's 28-0, and it just looks like, all right, this is a complete clown show. Hawaii does come back. They get a little bit of a drive going again. Again, try a long field goal, 49-yarder. They've missed it, so they've missed two long field goals in this one. Then Achman kind of gets going here. He had that nice 42-yard run, got stopped just short of the end zone, and Richard Newton finished it off. So it's 35-0 here in the second quarter. Miles Bryant, I mean, Pac-12 player of the week. He doesn't go away here. He picks off Cole McDonald again, and then the Huskies punch in a field goal, and it's now 38-0. Then at the very end of the first half, right, Hawaii grabs that kind of cheap touchdown on a fumble play so they cut it to 38-7. But, you know, I was looking up too and watching this one from home with Law Dog Jr., and Hawaii had 184 yards of offense.
Yeah.
And they were kind of moving the ball a little bit. I was like, man, death row defense, you know, giving me, so we'll get into that, but it just gave me a little bit of pause here. And then to start the second half, the Rainbow Warriors kind of get going. They march at 93 yards down the field. They cut the lead to 38-14. Huskies go three and out. Now Hawaii's got a little momentum. They march down the field one more time for a third touchdown, make it 38-20. And then their coach decides to go for two to cut it to two possessions. And I was like, oh, buddy, what are you doing?
Too much.
But I hate to say it, but that was kind of the turning point. After that, the UW gets the stop, and then they kind of ran out the clock. They chewed up 5 minutes of clock on their next drive with Richard Newton punching it in for his second touchdown, 45-20. Then Cam Williams picking off McDonald for a third interception for death row.
Mm-hmm.
He had a little return on it, and then the Huskies were able to chew up the last couple minutes of clock there, and Richard Newton punched in for his third touchdown. So it ended up 52-20. Overall, pretty good win. Obviously, there was some areas for concern in the middle of the third quarter there, but overall, I thought the Dogs looked pretty good.
Yeah, the palm fronds in our section were waving in the third quarter. They were feeling pretty good, and then they came back to play. How do you grade out that offense, buddy? What do you think? What kind of grade do you give them?
Well, so, you know, you put up 52 points on a Mountain West team. These are not total patsies the way they are in the Sun Belt. So, in some of the other Group of Five teams. So, I think you can't complain too much. I think, though, you look and, you know, this game started. The first series of the game can tell you what you need to know about this offense. These guys have two big stars, Jacob Eason and Hunter Bryant. And when they are connecting, it's just really tough to stop. I mean, the way Bryant was just running away from Hawaii's secondary, it's like, oh, man, you guys don't have a chance. So those guys have been really great every week, or every week that the Huskies have won anyway. So I think this week against BYU, they're going to be critical. Achmed definitely is the feature back on this team. I think kind of we went through this last year where in the non-conference they spread the carries around, but then when it really mattered, they gave it to Miles Gaskin over and over. He got 21 of the carries against Cal, and he had a pretty nice game. But in this game, him, McGrew, and Newton all had 8 carries, and I got to say, I think Newton is pushing him for time right now. The way they're giving it to him in the goal line, critical situations, the game's still in the balance. Obviously, not his 3 touchdowns yesterday, but he's been getting critical goal line carries, and they are both averaging 5.6 yards per carry. Achmed 46 carries to Newton's 29. So I think we could be seeing kind of a 2/3, 1/3 split going forward. I don't know what you think, but
it's probably good in that you really want to keep Saban healthy, right?
Yeah, we were kind of skeptical. Hey, are they really going to hand it to him 30 times? We haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of predicting here. I don't think we're going to see that this season. Offensive line, I think, seems fine. But there have been a couple situations where we've had those short conversions, haven't been able to convert. They did give up a few sacks against Cal, 4 sacks. So I think I'm not panicking, but I think the case for Washington to win the conference this season was really part of that was having a really elite offensive line. And, you know, I think that's kind of a work in progress. And then just finally kind of ending on what I would say is the lower note. I just don't think we're getting great play out of the receivers right now. I think, you know, the drops against Cal were huge, you know, but show me where, you know, Fuller's made some athletic catches and whatnot, but I think the big plays have been few and far between. I think Eason's really, you know, carrying the load in the passing game. I just don't see them creating the separation and getting what they need to get done. And Puka Nacua, maybe that's something we need to see more of, is him just taking more of the reins on the receiving side of the ball. So I think I would like to see them spread the ball around a lot more. We thought we were going to have a healthy Ty Jones going into the year.
I was just going to say, like, that, you see how much we miss that big physical Ty Jones.
Yeah, and you've got a few small guys.
Quentin Pounds.
Yeah, Pounds hasn't really been on the field. McClatcher hasn't been too much of a factor.
Though Eason missed him on that touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
He was waving his hands, why I'm open. It got there late.
Yeah, and Fuller, I think, is fine. But Bocelli, I think, is a guy where it's like, if you don't run by your defender, then I'm not – I don't know what Bocelli is doing for you other than just sprinting by somebody. And if he doesn't get – if he doesn't get behind a defense, then I don't think he's creating a lot of value for us offensively. To my eye, that's what it looks like right now. But you know what? You got a test this week against BYU. So let's talk about that death row defense and how they graded out against Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, look, all up where it counts, I think the Dogs held Hawaii to 20 points and 395 total yards, which you look at that, God, they put up 400 yards against us. But look, dig into that a little bit. Hawaii put up 45 and 31 against its last two Pac-12 opponents. Mm-hmm. And Hawaii had the ball, if you look at 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
UW either scored really quickly or went three and out in the third quarter.
That's
and
true.
So, like, you know, at some point, like, how much are you going to hold them back? Like, at some point, they're gonna score. A couple things I like: 25 Huskies registered tackles. Everybody got into the action. I think that number is going to come down as the season goes on.
They're clearly trying to rotate and find the right mix.
Yeah. They're getting everybody playing time, particularly once the game was in the bag. Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week. I like that Miles Bryant. Mm-hmm. Two picks and a sack. Man, that was great to see. I thought the D-line played pretty well. Not much run stop required. Thule looked great. You know, Levi had a couple tackles, but I can't tell what if Onwuzurike is just holding back. You know, where I expect him to be more disruptive, hands on the quarterback, completely like double, triple teaming. Maybe it was just requesting too much out of him, or he's waiting and he's not getting enough time. I don't know.
You're going from Vita Vea, who's
the
top 10 pick, to Greg Gaines, who was really a dominant interior defensive lineman. And now, you know, you're asking Levi to kind of carry the load by himself here.
Shelton Vea Gaines on Onwuzurike, and maybe
it's just a lot to ask. I mean, that's why I think you've seen Benning Potuai play a little bit better this season than what we've seen in the past, because he's a little bit more freed up. But yeah, I mean, you need somebody who's really going to be a two gap guy in this defense, and Levi maybe not totally that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, looking at the linebackers, Kyler Manu, I thought he looked really solid, five tackles, and he had the tip that led to that Cam Williams pick. You know, anytime you're a linebacker and can get a tip, particularly palm under the ball and pop it up, it's just, for whatever reason, your defense pretty much always catches that. You know, they're going to get hands on it, which is great. Other than that, you know, look, I don't know if the linebackers really stood out. Look, Kyler Gordon, who I've been critical of, where I feel like he's been picked on a little bit. He had nine tackles, but, you know, I just worry he's going to get targeted.
Clearly going at it.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I worry about that with that coming up with BYU and others. Special teams, I'll just talk really quickly on that. Joel Whitford, man, he's just crushing. You know, keep doing what he's doing. Three punts, 131 yards total on those. Peyton Henry hit a 23-yarder and all seven of his extra points. Like, this is like the Peyton Henry redemption tour this year so far. So he's looking really solid. The coverage unit, not too excited about the one Hawaii run back that they got pretty deep. But other than that, mostly fair catches.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was pretty much on lockdown other than that 136-yarder. And it was all right.
But all up, look, I mean, you know, they did beat two Pac-12 teams in a row. And so 52-20.
They're not nothing. Yeah.
They're not nothing.
They're not a garbage team. I think this is a solid win. You covered the spread. You did it at home. You bounced back after a really tough loss.
Mm-hmm.
You bounced back. And now, you know, you're going on the road for your first road test of the year. And, you know, you wanted to take some momentum into that. So I think overall it was a good performance.
Absolutely. So go Dogs. Nice win. Let's get into next week.
Yeah.
All right, we go. So now, number 22 ranked Huskies flying down to Provo, the land of gummy bears and adult fascination with Disneyland leased Jettas abound. It's the 11th meeting of these two programs. UW holds a 6-4 advantage, including that 35-7 beat down last year. Guys, I wish I could be there in person to wear my purple and gold 1984 National Champions t-shirt. The Provo faithful love that one.
They love it, yeah.
This year's team's coming off two big overtime wins, though.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, against USC at home. Kickoff is 12:30 on ABC. Dogs are favored by 5.5, came down from 7.5. Over-under's 50.5, so Vegas wants this thing something like 28-23 dogs. Lawdog, what do you think, man? Tell me about that BYU defense. What do you see coming out of our offense? What do you think of the keys here?
Yeah, well, I think this is an improving defensive unit that you saw. I mean, you know, they were able to pick off Slovis and USC last week three times, and you know they did not show much in their performance in Husky Stadium rushing last year.
They're rushing three against USC and dropping like however they want to classify them 5-7 DBs.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think what we are looking for this week is to say, hey, BYU's team last year that you crushed at home and you probably had your best performance of the year, that's not the team you're playing on Saturday, and it's not in the environment you're playing in. So I think we need to be ready to go on the road and perform, and this is going to be their biggest test, I think, other than that Cal game, definitely their biggest test in the non-conference season, so we want to see what they can do. BYU, though, definitely has struggled defensively over the last few years, but I think now you're starting to see some improvement there. And so I think that this is a big test for them. They really are known, I think, for under their new coach Sitake for running the ball and really being committed to the run. So we will see how that holds up. Overall, I think the Huskies should be able to move the ball against this BYU defense. They don't have really elite corners or elite. You know, they're more of a team that's good up front than they are in the secondary. So I think this is a good chance for Easton to say, hey, I'm going to put this team on my back and I'm going to lead to victory here. And if the Dogs can supplement that with a good running game, and again, it's back to that offensive line. Can this offensive line kind of turn into the road graders that we've needed them to be? I think that
shut that crowd up.
Yeah, and getting some early big plays, I think, would really help. But I think that this is going to be a good test. This is going to be it fits the UW strengths very well, I think, because if we can get them into a passing game, I think that's the game we want to play, and then try to run out the clock after we've worn them down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and look, Provo's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Very loud, very hostile crowd. Always surprising to me. I talk about that a lot.
No, it is.
Not to go on a rant, but that all of the BYU alums I work with are the most kindest, hardworking, pleasant individuals, and I have found their fans to be incredibly hostile to anyone coming into BYU, and they're going to be loud. Whiteout game, so we get to wear our purples, which is kind of weird. They're doing like an all-out white uniform, so there will be road purples there. So let's talk about this offense against our Husky D, man. Look, I don't know if I call them high power. They're putting up just 24 points a game, and that includes two overtimes. Offense run by Jeff Grimes, remember from the LSU days, and shown improvement for sure. They run a spread system, zone read, and they'll take whatever you give them, they're going to take. Quarterback Zach Wilson. So, you know, no longer the 45-year-old man gum. This is Zach Wilson, new guy. True, scrambling dual threat quarterback. But I think he's more like the Russell Wilson scrambler than the Vic, you know, than the Michael Vick scrambler. But total gamer, man. But, you know, it's interesting of like he makes these really athletic plays, real highlight reel, two touchdowns and two picks, right? So, you know, I don't know. Watch out for the Wildcat. They run Wildcat. They'll run reverses. It's not they just sweep everything last year. Remember, it was just like sweep left, sweep right, and they've gotten away from that. You know, look, just a bunch of weird crap that they run. If you don't stay disciplined, they're going to run off big plays. And that's the only thing that really concerns me is like, if we don't stay disciplined, they run some weird reverse thing and they run off at, you know, a 60-yard TD. And you look match Wilson with Tyson Williams, the grad transfer from South Carolina. Look, these guys are just not as you said, this isn't the team that we trashed last year in Husky Stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm worried a little bit about Matt Bushman, 6'5", tight end, like Colby Parkinson is going to Colby Parkinson us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably a Keith Taylor assignment or others who can match up with him. But, you know, I hate those larger tight ends that play like receivers. And in the past, look, you know, in the beginning of the year, I look at this and be like, gosh, mobile quarterbacks, man, they've killed us. But look at this year, really. We've already faced two mobile quarterbacks, you know, and albeit, you know, not from the same caliber, But Eastern and Hawaii had very mobile quarterbacks.
It does always create problems.
It always creates a problem. The two games that we've played this year have not been so far. So maybe that's a strength of this against this defense. But, you know, end of the day, look, I want to get out of there with a win.
Mm-hmm.
I want it, you know, Hawaii, I want us to look impressive. I don't want us to get out of there with a 7-point win. We got to cover. Let's get out of Provo with a win and get back here because we've got USC coming up. Any other thoughts on this game? What do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, they're returning 17 starters. So this is a team I think you're expecting to kind of bounce back. And you're right. Mangum, who kind of just floundered around last year. This isn't that quarterback. This isn't that team. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we need to just focus on, hey, let's get the W in Provo and let's just win and move on to the next. You know, we got a big game next week after this USC. I don't want them looking ahead, but this is not going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, let's see how these guys respond on the road. Bunch of freshmen who haven't traveled before. Let's get their minds right. All right, guys. Time to get into the Pac-12 checkdown. But before that, guys, where do you go for Pac-12 content?
I got a Pac-12 radio.
Yeah, 12 Pac Radio, dude. That's Pill 12 Pac Radio is the spot, man. You think of the guys who took over the mantra of, like, we started Ultimate Pac-12 Podcast. There was none other. And when it was time to retire that and move it on, we had no question who we were going to send it to. It was the guys from 12 Pac Radio. That's where I go to listen to, man. Really, really well done show. And one thing I couldn't believe, they got Max Meyer from Sports Illustrated on the gambling side. Huge get. I don't know what they did to get him.
I don't know either.
This is like we roll in here where, like, we get Bob Rondo out of retirement, and he's just like our third guy. And we're like, what? How did you get this guy? Nice work, man. Check him out by searching 12 Pac Radio.
He's on with them at least once or
yeah, he's
once
great. Twice a week, he's right? Really solid. And except for his take and both of their takes on the easiest money in the world they were going to make all year was the Cal covering against UW. And they were so right about that,
which
killed me. All right, so 12 Pac Radio, go there wherever you want to get your podcast. Follow them on Twitter. That is the spot. So should we give our junior varsity take on the Pac-12?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So here, if you look at last week's results, man, the good for the conference. ASU upsets Michigan 10-7 on the road. Arizona gets a nice win 28-14 against Texas Tech, man.
That one surprised
me. Red Raiders were favored by a point and a half, so the good win for them. I don't know if you saw this. Arizona, top five rushing team in the country in FBS.
I mean, that's not that shocking, but it is still shocking.
Yeah, that they're playing teams, man. Wazoo with a road win, 31-24. They don't cover the 9, but look, still getting that road win against Houston on the road.
Technically
fine.
Neutral, right?
Look,
but it's in Texas.
It's in Texas. Oregon State, look, yeah, it's called Pauly, but a 45-7 win. Not only do they cover what was 17, Oregon State wins are going to be hard to come by. Give it to them. That's fine. I put this in the who cares category. Is Oregon wins 35-3, but they don't cover that 38.5-point spread. Just 7 points in the second, third, and fourth. So, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, they did what they needed to do to win. Utah wins 31-0. Blanks Idaho State, man. Blanking of teams, that's great, but they don't cover the 37.5. Who cares? It's Idaho State, but they get the win. The ugly for the conference.
There was some.
UCLA 0-3 with a 48-14 loss at home to Oklahoma. It essentially looked like a home game for Oklahoma. If you looked at the crowd, they're literally giving away seats. They lose. They don't cover. Stanford gets crushed on the road, 45-27 at University of Central Florida. Man, tough one. Stanford is not looking good. That's a stain on the conference.
That is why are you playing? You already have Notre Dame in your out of conference schedule. Why are you playing a home and home with a Florida team? Like, I just don't get it.
I would say the same thing with Oregon, or even with like an Oregon State and an Arizona. Don't play home and homes with Hawaii.
Yeah.
Don't play home and homes with a team like Central Florida. Don't schedule the military academies ever. If you're going to play a home and home with somebody, make it a legit team.
Although if the Cougs had lost, we'd be saying the same thing. But hey, give credit to them that they went to Texas and beat Houston.
That's right. USC loses 27-30 in overtime at BYU. That does not look good for the conference. And the last one I'll say, this was ugly, man. A win's a win, I guess. But Cal wins 23-17 at home against the University of North Texas.
I mean, that's the one where it's just like, man.
Really?
Really?
That's the team that beat us.
I want to say, hey, you're good. You came into Husky Stadium and won, but then look at what they did against North Texas at home. That was very disappointing. And then also, you didn't even mention it, but Colorado slipping up in overtime.
That's the ugly as well. Yeah.
Air Force. I mean, that's just, you know, the Pac-12 in the Mountain West. I think if we're going to take some broad takeaways from this non-conference schedule, which is kind of winding down, the Mountain West, you just can't, you know, be going head to head with the Mountain West and losing as often as the Pac-12 is. I think that's the number one thing that's kind of hurting the conference's reputation right now. If you just shore up your games in your home region, you know, that would make a huge difference. Here you got Arizona State. It's going to Michigan State. and getting a nice win. You've got teams that are hanging with, you know, the Cougs going to the other Cougars and winning. So, I mean, Arizona beating Texas Tech, like, we're beating Power 5 teams, or Houston's kind of close,
yeah, more or less,
close to that category. But, you know, you're definitely getting at least some quality wins. It's really just the, like, you shouldn't have ever played those games, losses, that really drive me crazy as a Pac-12 fan.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, in the end of the day, it wasn't a disastrous weekend for the conference, and we have had some.
Yeah.
You know, but a few of those things that fall in that ugly category.
And we knew Oklahoma was going to march into the Rose Bowl and just have their way with the Bruins, who just look so terrible right now.
I mean,
you hear the chirping coming from Chip Kelly. He's even kind of throwing the players under the bus there, like, oh, we don't have enough talent, or whatever his quote was on that. It's just
ridiculous.
You know, man, you're in Los Angeles. Like, if you don't have talent, you can try to point the finger somewhere else. That's on you.
Yeah.
That is absolutely on you. The talent is all around you. You don't even need to get on a plane to find it. So don't complain about your
talent. Look at their recruiting. Look at the recruiting classes that they retained. Like, they were pretty much always top 20, top 25. It's not the player that, you know, I don't know. You can't put it. They've always underperformed their talent at UCLA whatever reason. But, you know, the heat he's taken of, you know, hey, that offense that I ran at Oregon, that's not, you know, we've changed. Times have changed. Like, why are you even asking me about that? Well, we're asking you about it because it apparently worked then, and whatever you're doing now is not working.
Totally. And, you know, I was the first one to say, hey, I'm getting on the Chip Kelly train. I'll take the fall for this. I was also on the Rick Neuheisel train. I have always believed UCLA was kind of a sleeping giant that just has not been awoken.
Right.
And a couple of coaches, like Neuheisel, who was really a recruiter, went down there and struggled. And now Chip Kelly, who we think of as like X's and O's guy, is struggling. So, you know, we do have to give it some time. I think if you look back at UW's turnaround, and we weren't in the hole the way UCLA was the last couple of seasons, but you look at UW's turnaround, it was really those last few games of 2015 that was year two that kind of made it start to look good.
That's right.
And I think UCLA could, at the end of this season, they could be in that position where they could be kind of ending on a high note and then have some momentum going in the next season. So, but the problem is, man, you look at their schedule, they're at Utah, they're playing SC, and then they're at USC, and then they're home against Cal. Those are their last three
games.
It's really tough for them this year. They have a brutal schedule. So I think we'll give Chip some more time. But, you know, meanwhile, in Arizona, now another coach who's in year two, it kind of looks like Hawaii was the outlier because they came in and stomped Northern Arizona, and now they beat Texas Tech pretty soundly at home. Now they're get UCLA.
They beat Arizona.
They could be 3-1 in September. So that's a team that I think is kind of like, you know, they're in the mix, I think, in the South in a way that we maybe didn't think so at the beginning of the season.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And look, I think the frustrating thing if you're a UCLA fan is that they didn't keep the momentum up from how they ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
They took us down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
They beat USC. Like, they had momentum at the end of the year, and it just didn't carry over.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let's talk about this week and see what happens. So we already talked about the Huskies and BYU, five other Pac-12 games this week. Zona and Oregon State are on bye this week. Friday night it starts off. I'm excited for this game, man. 6 p.m. Number 10 Utah at USC. Did you know how long it's been since they've won in the Coliseum?
I probably never.
This is crazy. So 4 years after the Titanic.
1925 or
14.
Something.
It has been over 100 years since they've won in the Coliseum. Crazy. Utah favored by 3.5. So Saturday starts off early. I'm excited for this. Again, the road trip that I'm the most jealous of in all of the Pac-12. It's number 23 Cal, 9 a.m. at Ole Miss. Unfortunately, it's on ESPNU, which not a lot of people have. Cal opened as a one. This is interesting. Cal opens as a 1.5-point favorite. Now it's Ole Miss by 2.5. Maybe this is people reacting to what happened last week against North Texas. I don't know. 4 p.m. So we get a little break during the day. In the middle of the day, you can actually get some work done or do whatever you need to do. 4 p.m. on ESPN. It's Oregon. After UW game, 12:30, and then it ends. 4 p.m. ESPN, Oregon at Stanford. Number 16, Oregon now, minus 10.5-point favorite on the road. The night games, 7 p.m. Pac-12 Network, it's Colorado at number 24 ASU. Sun Devils by 7.5. These Sun Devil defense has only given up 7 a game. This could be something where they really show conference dominance. 7:30 ESPN on Pac-12 after dark game. It's the light one. UCLA at number 19 Wazoo. Cougs favored by 18.5. Law Dog, what stands out to you, man? What do you see?
Yeah, well, I think... man, I'm so jealous of the Cougs getting UCLA at home, and here we are getting USC.
I know.
You know, in two weeks. I wish those were flipped. I think ASU settling only 7.5 at home against Colorado. I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. And not that Arizona State scores a lot, but I think their D has been pretty stout. So I could see me, I could see laying 7.5 there. Cal, Ole Miss, I'm really jealous, like you said. I mean, going to the Grove would be so fun. I think that's a that would have been a great trip for the Huskies. To if they're willing to schedule Cal, I don't know why they wouldn't be willing to schedule us.
Ole Miss would be great.
That would be awesome. Yeah, and I think the game of the week really is that Friday night game, USC at Utah. USC has not – they haven't looked outright terrible. And when they you know, when they lost to BYU last week, I mean, yeah, it sucks. And if you're a USC fan, you're ripping your hair out right now. Like, why isn't Clay Helton gone yesterday? But they're still 1-0 in the conference. And if they can get this one at home against a team that hasn't beat them there in 100 years
– it just puts the conference in disarray.
It's going to throw – it's going to – so, but USC's still fighting, I think, for the South. So I think that could be a really important game. And again, that's another game I could see going on the under. Clovis has not looked that great. You know, with the limited kind of action that he's been in, but a true freshman against this Utah defense. And then Utah, you know, going on the road, and they've kind of, you know, they haven't looked super on offense this year and really any of the previous several years. I mean, only putting up 35 against Northern Illinois and 31 against Idaho State. That's not an offense that's got me shaking in my boots over there. So, you know, I could see that being kind of an ugly, low-scoring one, and I think that's really the game of the week to watch.
It's going to be a nice slate. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Utah can go in and get that win against USC on the road for the first time in over 100 years, you know, they're going to be on this on the stretch that you expect them to be on at the beginning of the year, where everyone picked them. Oregon at Stanford, that's the only thing I'll say. Man, if Oregon wins that thing by 20-plus, it's going to be a long year for Stanford. I mean, if they're just going to continually get curb stomped everywhere they go, that's going to be a long.
Yeah, I think they've probably been the biggest disappointment. I was, you know, in the North prediction show, I was saying, hey, they are a strong over on what, 6.5?
6.5.
I'm really shaking in my boots on that one. I don't know that they're. I mean, they're 1-2, and they looked pretty poor against both SC and UCF. So I just, you know, I kind of. I don't know what to say. They did get the win against Northwestern, which was a pretty good defensive team. And of course, they were playing without Costello at USC. Mm-hmm. He'll be back this week. But then they kind of have an opportunity to get going a little bit. After this Oregon game, they're going to Corvallis next week. Then they're home against Washington, and you know, we haven't definitely looked, you know, anything amazing. Then they've got UCLA, Arizona, Colorado all in a row there. So they could bounce back. And then by kind of beginning in November, we could be talking about how they're in the mix again. So don't give up on them yet, but I agree. If they look really bad against Oregon this week, we're gonna start furrowing our brows a little bit.
It'll be interesting. Is this the week that the conference starts cannibalizing ourselves? This is pretty much what we always do at some point. All right, so big game this week, guys. We're going on the road, 12:30 on ABC, UW at BYU. Dogs, let's get that win.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Oregon and Stanford.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.